Hello and welcome to Take 411, a podcast powered by Another Chance to Bridge the Gap. This is a place where you can find latest news, information in relation to prison and anything happening in the community. Buckle in.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Vic, sir, here on behalf of Another Chance Foundation. Super excited to be talking to you guys today. Today, the focus is going to be on the mindset as it relates to prisoners during their time, and also just the mindset on the outside as well for these guys and us all. I think about, growing up in the midst of adversity, growing up in poverty, and I remember at a young age telling some of my cousins and my brothers and sisters that, I wasn't going to be living paycheck to paycheck. I had different goals and dreams in mind, and how that was viewed offensively. And I understand kind of from, being a little bit mature now, why they would see it that way, because that's all we knew at that time. But I just knew I wanted more. I knew I had a mindset to do something different. And I saw the challenges ahead in that just because of the nature of the situation that we was living in. But my mindset at such a young age led to me to being where I'm at today, and will lead to where whatever other goals that I get to accomplish during this lifetime, because I had a mindset from a young age that I was going to do better, I was going to live better, and my family was going to be better because I chose to do something different. And so when I look at a lot of the men in my life that have paved the way for me, but all those that are in my immediate family that may have fallen to the traps of what we're used to in my family of drunkenness or jail or drugs or et cetera, and leaving the household, I saw that negative man in my life so many times, and I knew I didn't want to be that. So developing that mentality at such a young age definitely helped me get to a point where I am in the day, and in the beauty of so many other men willing to help me through that. When I think about the mindset, I also think about the story of Buster Douglas and Mike Tyson, and some of you may know it, but Buster Douglas was getting ready to fight Mike Tyson, and his mom told him, and she told the whole beauty shop, that Buster was going to beat Mike Tyson. Now, you got to understand that at this point, Mike Tyson hadn't even lost a fight, and he's knocking everybody out first and second round, right? So Buster's like just lucky to get a fight with him, going to make some money, but, first off, he planning on he going to lose, and Mike got that iron on him, and everybody was afraid to fight Mike at that time. He was undefeated. But his mom, you know how moms are, right? Her son can never do wrong, baby going to beat him. So she's telling everybody they're going to beat him, right? And so the fight comes. 3 days before the fight, Buster Douglas, his mom dies. And so now Buster has this huge why in him, this huge motivation to beat Mike Tyson for his mom, right, who just passed. And so they get into the fight, and Mike comes out swinging, just how Mike does. Swing, 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 knocks him down. So Buster Douglas is going down. 7, 8, 9, and he gets up. Now, everybody's surprised because you got this no-name boxer fighting Mike Tyson. Everybody expected him to go ahead and lay down and give up. But nobody really knew outside of his team that Buster Douglas' mom had just passed, and Buster Douglas had dedicated this fight to his mom. So Douglas gets up and takes Mike to that 6, 7, 8 rounds, and ends up knocking Mike Tyson out. And that's the first time Mike Tyson loses. And everybody asked Buster Douglas, man, how did you do that? How did you get up? How did you win that fight? And he said, because my mama told the beauty shop that I was going to win. And you think about his mindset getting into that ring. It wasn't about the competitor. It didn't matter at that point. It was about what my mama just said. And his mom passed. And he had a why that was so important to him. So when I think about our men that are in prison, our women that are in prison, and the value of having a why, having a kid that needs you, having a family that needs your support, having parents that need your support, that what motivates a lot of people to get out of there and do the right thing. If you don't have a why, if you don't have a vision, if you don't have goals set for yourself, then a lot of times you'll end up doing nothing. because you haven't set a vision, you haven't set a plan, you have no reason to accomplish those things. You gotta have a why. My mom was my why for a long time, and now these guys that I work with are my why. I was talking to a kid this morning, did something crazy last night, and I'm telling him, I'm like, bro, you got a daughter to think about. Came in talking about this daughter and this child that you want to take care of, that you wanted to get back to, but now, you know, you're doing stupid stuff like this, and I'm a little bit confused because what you were saying isn't matching your actions. So it's not only important to have a goal and a dream, but the actions that you put in place after that are important as well. Because you can't only say, you know, I want to be great, I want to get out, I want to take care of my mom and my dad, but what are you doing on the inside right now? What are you doing right now at home right now? What are you doing to accomplish those goals that you have set in place? It's not enough just to write them down. Yeah, you need to write them down. Yeah, you need to think about them. Yeah, you need to visualize them. But what are you growing? Are you growing your mind? But are you putting the actions in place to actually be successful in that? And that's super important, guys. When I think about Buster Douglas, when I think about all these people that have overcome these great giants in their life to become successful, or it depends on what you think successful is. To me, I think a successful family, a father, a mother, kids, you know, or just a single parent, taking care of what they got to do in their household. Kids is good, family good, everybody good. Like, it depends on how you view success, but whatever you put that down on that vision, whatever you write down on that goal, you need to put in the steps to actually get to that point. We do a lot of goal setting in my program, and some of you may know about it. I was talking about it once before, but I work with young men coming out of juvenile detention and prisons and stuff like that, and homeless young men, and I teach them to set goals. I teach them to write down things that they want to achieve, and we start setting plans to get that stuff done. You know, when I think about starting this program in itself, I knew I had to move to New York out of high school, out of college, originally from Arkansas. I knew I had to take my wife up there with me. I knew I had to be up there for a certain amount of years. I knew exactly what I needed to do to get to the point to where I am today, where I launched my own program. And so I had it written down. I prayed about it. I had it planned out. And I went and took the action to actually go about it. Everybody said I was crazy. A lot of my family members, a lot of my mentors, you move to New York, you won't make it, you won't succeed, you're too far, you don't have enough money, don't have any resources. I'm like, listen, I got a dream, I got to go, this is what's going to do, this is what it's going to look like, bam, bam, boom. And I remember getting it done and coming down here and sitting in the living room with my wife, and I said, man, we accomplished that in 2 years. And she was like, yeah. I said, I dream a little bit too small. Because when I look at what we did in 2 years and how I read it all out, I'm like, man, I mean, what's going to happen in 10? Like, now what's my goal? Because I had this huge goal of starting the program, and I didn't think it would happen that fast, but I just put in the steps that I had written down and I had prayed about. And just like that, it happened. And so it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're starting from. It's about where are you mentally. Have you written these goals down? Do you even think you can accomplish them? Like, what's your mindset toward attacking your goals, your dreams, and all that stuff? It doesn't matter if you're on the inside or the outside, because some of us have gotten out of prison, have gotten out of jail, have gotten out of captivity, but we're still there because we haven't freed our mind from that. We haven't freed our mind from that. So we're going to go to break. I'm not sure what time we're at exactly, but I'm going to move on, and we're going to start talking about some of the topics that I looked up that a guy used to help himself get over his prison sentence.
Hi, this is Alexis with some trending news for Take 411. COVID-19 cases have exploded at the Utah State Prison, which is now reporting 196 active cases, up from just 2 on September 23rd. All of them are in the Washat A and B blocks at the Draper campus. The Washat facility, which opened in 1952, is the oldest at the prison. Those two A and B block holds 327 prisoners, so 60% of them now have tested positive. Nearly all of those who are positive for COVID in those housing units are either asymptomatic or they are experiencing very minor symptoms. Mac Hayden, Executive Director of the Utah Department of Corrections said in a 16-minute video posted online about the outbreak. Hi, it's Alexis with some trending news for Take 411. There has been another massive COVID-19 outbreak in a Wisconsin prison. Oshkosh Correctional Institution has reported Tuesday that there are more than 300 active cases among their inmates. The huge surge in cases comes as Cato Moran Correctional Institution also reported today that they have 431 active cases of COVID-19 among inmates, the largest outbreak at a Wisconsin prison yet. Oshkosh Correctional has a large number of elderly inmates. It is Wisconsin's most populous prison with 1,964 prisoners as of Friday. The DOC reported that the medium security site had 337 active cases among prisoners. An additional 27 at Oshkosh have tested positive at some point during the pandemic, but have since recovered. Another 6 tested positive, but were released from the prison. The spokesman said that all of Oshkosh inmates who have tested positive has been isolated from other prisoners and are being treated by health services staff at the prison. If they need greater care, then the prison can provide at the institution, they will be moved to a local hospital or a medical center. Back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. The first thing we're going to attack is awareness. It says, conquer thyself till thou hast done this, thou art but a slave. Replace the word slave. One second. Replace the word slave with an inmate, and you can see my point. People want to change the world, but they can't change themselves. Until you master yourself, you won't be able to master anything. Mental toughness is based around one. The first step in mastering this mental strength is mastering your own physical, emotional, and spiritual states. How do you react to negative situations? How do you show up in life? How do you look to other people? Do your dreams and goals align with your everyday actions and decisions? Number 2, we go to self-image. Self-image begins by believing in yourself and believing you can accomplish great things. I read this in a book. Self-image is not mental trickery. It is a scientifically proven agent of control. The self-image identifies and motivates the necessary behavior and connects it to the desired outcome. The key is to create the self-image desired. Decide who you want to be and how you want to live, and then continuously tell yourself that you have what it takes to be that person. The self-image will guide you in direct actions and behaviors until the self-image becomes the reality. You will act like the sort of person you want to be. Willpower is not the answer. Self-image is. Just to stop there for a second, man, and I just want to discuss a little bit about the power of identity. When I think about prisoners and being around so many different kinds of people and honestly a lot of negativity, you got to understand that you have to know who you are before you get in there. And hopefully you never go there, but you need to know who you are if you're in that situation, because you're going to be around so many people that will try to manipulate you and scam you and get you to do things that you shouldn't be doing. And if you're not grounded in who you are, your own self-identity, and know your self-worth, then you'll get caught up in anything. And all those goals and plans that you have figured out will be thrown out the way because you've let someone tell you who you are. And having a positive self-image of yourself is so important. Knowing your value, knowing your worth is so important. That was just a great point that I want to stop on. Number 3 is positive self-talk. The mind has roughly 60,000 thoughts per day. Mental toughness is centered around your thoughts. Everyone has negative thoughts, but the truly mental tough are able to capture those negative thoughts and replace them with positive ones. The more positive thoughts you have, the more success you obtain. Let's do some quick math. 60,000 thoughts per day times 365 days per year is 21,900,000 thoughts per year.
To have positive and healthy emotional state, your positive thoughts must outweigh the negative. That means you need to have at least 10,950,000 positive thoughts per year. In bleak circumstances, the mind is prone to more negativity. It is vital in those times you focus even harder on taking things captive. And discipline yourself to replace them with positive thoughts. While in prison, I will use this mental trick I learned. When a negative thought came into my mind, I would use some sort of tool or instrument to get it out. For instance, I'm never going to be able to accomplish my startup goals while sitting in a prison cell. Instead of letting that thought fester, I would envision the thought as a big pile of rubbish and envision a bulldozer pushing that thought in the pile of trash right out the edge of my mind. I used all different types of objects that visually rid myself of negative thoughts. Use this trick. Number four, nothing to lose. It's only after we've lost everything that we're free to do anything. From Tyler Durden. There's freedom in pursuing your life of all that you own. After 2 years in prison, I had lost everything. I left with $200 to my name. Note, the joy of freedom has no price. I lived with a friend when I got home and worked quickly to start a business. I negotiated relentlessly, worked hard, and gave it everything. What did I have to lose? Nothing to lose has afforded me infinite possibility. The prison experience allows me to be grateful for the things that I do have. I love that mindset, guys. Just having a spirit of gratitude, even in the midst of a sucky situation. I'm not sure if you guys are Bible readers out there. If you think about Paul's situation in the book of Philippians when he's in prison, guys, and he's writing about being joyous and being overjoyed and rejoicing always when he's in terrible conditions. When you think about the mindset of this man and how powerful he was to be in those worst circumstances, but still have the mindset to be grateful that God would put him there in a place like that. And so, man, that's just an awesome reminder, even from a guy in prison, to have a positive mindset no matter where you are. Going to number five, it says, comfortable in the unknown. The prison journey is a combination of unknown stops at every turn. An inmate is constantly moved around the system, presented with new situations and cellmates, different tiers with different people all throughout his or her whole prison stay. The only certainty is uncertainty. Figuring out how to adapt to the changing environment and changing scenarios empowered me to get comfortable in the unknown. Most of the time we get upset or react negatively to a situation. It is because the situation didn't go as we planned it. Think back to a situation that you reacted negatively towards. And 90% of the time, you can't pinpoint the reaction to your expectation of how that situation was supposed to occur. Realizing this and living in the uncertainty allowed me to be fluid in my expectations. Don't take this the wrong way. That doesn't mean I just let life happen to me, but rather I controlled the things I could control, like myself, my reactions to situations, and my discipline. And released control of the things I could not control. For instance, rather than get upset when the yard was locked down because of a riot or a fight, which caused me to miss my workout, I chose to work out in my cell instead. This skill has translated to my startup success as a startup and is full of uncertainty and unknowns. And just to talk about that a little bit, like I said, a lot of my mentors and some of my family members told me, you know, that I wouldn't make it to the point that I am today. My dream of starting my own residential program wouldn't actually come true because it was so many unknowns. Of course, I moved into a whole nother state, way across the state from Arkansas to New York, 20 plus hours away, and my family's not there. Me and my wife, we had just got married. We drove up to New York 8 days after we got married, and I was working like 2 days after that. Everybody was just down on that decision that I made because there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of unknown. It was very uncomfortable. But I just want to tell us, in the midst of any uncomfortable situation, there will be growth. And either you're going to allow the adversity to break you or build you. And it's a time like in the world today with so much going on that we got to be building ourselves in the midst of adversity. A lot of people are going through adversity right now, in prisons, out of prisons, with this sickness, with the financial status, with the economy being down, this election coming up. It's a lot of unknowns. A lot of people are nervous. A lot of people are anxious. God says don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. So I hope prayers are going up right now, people. But understand that if you're in the midst of adversity, if you're feeling down, if you're feeling worried about where your status is, use this time to make you better. Use this time to build you. We'll finish up with the next six statements after we go to break.
Take 411 is powered by Another Chance to Bridge the Gap, which is an organization that has been around for almost a decade, working to help bridge the gap between people in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. We need your help. There are so many different things going on in the world, and our goal is to continue to share information on a daily basis to make sure that people are aware and abreast of what's going on in the world, so we can continue the mission and goal of bridging the gap between people in prison with family, friends, and people in the community. Please connect with us. Subscribe and make sure you have a membership, because together we can change lives.
Back at it. It's going to be number six, distraction free. I was most happy when pen and paper were taken from me, and I was forbidden from doing anything. I had no anxiety about doing nothing by my own fault. My conscience was clear, and I was happy. This was when I was in prison. That's Daniel Carms. Our complex, miraculous, and intricate brains are not designed to deal with nagging bosses, paying bills, or watching Kardashian repeats. An amazing thing happens when you remove the distractions. You gain some serious mental clarity. The world makes more sense. Your dreams become clearer and your thought patterns get stronger. Removing distractions provides you mental clarity. Mental clarity provides you mental strength. When I think about removing distractions, guys, it's so important that we understand the places we put ourselves in, the people we put ourselves around. And it's sad to think that sometimes your family can be your distraction or your close friends could have been your distraction. But when I think about the life of someone I'm close to and all the people that he continually got himself around that continually led him back into prison or into jail or into bad circumstances, in my mind, it's time to start cutting people off. And some of my friends, it didn't mean that I never reached out to them or I never talked to them. But I'll speak about one buddy in particular. We were super close in high school. But he went off and started doing the drug thing, and I did something differently. And so now when we link up, it's like, hey, we can work out, we can eat together, we can chop it up, but I ain't coming to no house party with you. You know I ain't riding in the car with you. Because you just got to understand that there are some things I don't even want to put myself around, especially coming out of a prison-type atmosphere and linking up with some people in there. You guys got to be aware of who you're connecting with. Are they going to be a distraction to me? Are they going to help to improve me? Am I helping to improve them? All those kind of things. So it's important to limit your distractions, and of course, you're going to have some naturally just because of your family being around, and not that it's always a bad distraction. I'm not calling family a bad distraction, but there are some family members that are doing more taking than giving, and you just got to monitor that situation when you come home for sure and while you're out now. Going on to number seven, freedom through captivity. Nobody wants to get locked up. Although locked up is a matter of perspective, there can be people who are out who are in prison mentally and emotionally and worse off than those who are behind bars. That was Wesley Snipes. Some of the calmest, most peaceful, intelligent people I've ever met are doing life in penitentiary. Let's get this metaphysical here. There's an ancient prison trick that has been used thousands of years and dates back earlier than Confucius. For the captive who allows it, enlightenment happens. There is a certain freedom in grasping this somewhat elusive reality. Nobody can take your mind prisoner if you don't allow it. We all are free to think and feel how we choose. Be wise in your choices. Number eight, vivid thoughts. Dark gray cells, dark gray clothes, dark gray food trays, dark gray bunks. Everything is dark gray in prison, which leaves it up to the individual to see in color. There is an inherent benefit to generating the mental focus yourself. People learn faster by visualizing success rather than by watching it on tape. In athletic training, research shows that every minute of visual realization is worth 7 minutes of physical practice. When sitting in my dark gray cell with my books, newspapers, and magazines, while writing, reading, and researching the tech sector, I would visualize myself in Silicon Valley at partner meetings with my new startup, raising capital from prominent venture capitalists. I used the handwrite articles to be posted on entrepreneur.com. I visualized myself on the cover of Entrepreneur Inc. magazine, Wired, and Fast Co. I still use these visualization techniques to accomplish goals. At the bottom of this article, I'll provide a complex examples. Number 9, relentlessly train your mind. I realized that even in prison, my schedule and time were in my control. Unlike my fellow inmates who spent their time playing cards, watching TV, and shucking and jiving all day, I focused on training my mind. In those 2 years, I read 197 books. I wrote 2 books. I learned new language. I taught my fellow inmates all about business and startups. I studied physics and history. I wrote every single day for 2 years straight. I insistently trained and disciplined my mind. My routine became the saving grace that allowed me to be relentless. Number 10, relentless solution-based mentality. I met endless problems and relentlessly focused on solutions to all those problems. Research shows that most people achieve solution-focused thoughts about 40% of the time, while individuals with relentless solution focus replace 100% of negative thinking with thoughts focused on solutions. When obstacles come your way, do you accept the problems or focus on these solutions? And the last one, number 11, overcoming obstacles. After successfully accomplishing 2 years in prison, I felt invisible. Conquering major life hurdles will give you an infinite supply of self-confidence and self-worth. I left with and maintained the mentality that if I can accomplish prison, I can accomplish anything. If I can accomplish prison, I can accomplish anything. That's just an awesome mindset to have. And this guy's name, Andrew Metal. A guy that overcame great adversity and chose to give back in the midst of that. When I think about my brother getting ready to get out of prison now and how his mind has changed. From the age of 16, he was going in and out of jail, and he's about 30 now, getting ready to get out of federal prison. So it's been this life journey for him of going in and out and in and out and in and out. And one thing that I'll hit on that we read a little bit about is really retraining your mind for when you get out, because there are a lot of people that are out now but mentally still locked up. I see these guys. I work with these kind of guys. I've been doing this work for a while now, and there are guys that come out of jail and come out of prison, and you know undoubtedly that they're getting ready to go right back, because if your first mindset when you get out is, all right, how I'm gonna steal better, how I'm gonna sell these drugs a little bit better, then that's all you were thinking about when you were in there. It wasn't about doing something different or being more successful. It was insanity thinking I'm gonna do the same thing better and get a different result. No, you're gonna do the same thing, and at some point you're gonna get a greater reward, which is longer jail time. And we gotta start thinking that way, guys. What can I do differently to truly make a positive impact on my life? I remember sitting, I'll tell a quick story because we got to wrap it up, guys. I was sitting in a TGI Fridays, in some kind of way they had set it up where it was a party on one side and families were eating on the other side. It was a weird setup. But the DJ was sitting in the corner, and you could tell, like, the vibe was getting a little off. You know, you can feel some tension in the air. And there was this guy sitting in the corner with his hands in his sleeve pocket, right? And he had grabbed in TGI Fridays, they wrap up the utensils, the knife, the fork. He had grabbed one and put it in his little coat sleeve thing. And one of my homeboys peeped it because he knew him, and he was like, this dude literally think he's still in jail. This guy had backed up in the corner. We had TGI Fridays. This kid's eating in the next room. He backed up in the corner. He tucked the knife in his coat thing, and he just sitting there, like, watching the room and monitoring the room. And it just made me think that this guy has never – he still got that jail mentality. And he was, like, fresh out. But we got to understand, guys, if we don't break that mentality, it's going to trap us and consume us for the rest of our lives. There's so much power in the mind. There's power in how you view yourself and how you think. It was so great to talk to you all today. I pray that you all be blessed. Y'all, I'm just thankful to be a part of Another Chance Foundation. I pray that we continue to grow and continue to build the minds of prisoners around, the minds of families around. Y'all be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to Take 411. To stay connected with us, please subscribe in the link below to our website, add your email address, and get all types of updates and information about what happens in the world every single day. Until the next time, remember, together we can.